Amen. Good morning, dear ones. So glad to see all of you back with us again this morning. We're just looking forward to that day when we can be together in person, and hopefully it'll be soon. But for now, just hang on there and just know that the Lord works and He's with us, and He's near and dear to us every minute, every hour of the day. I just want to take a minute this morning to thank everyone that has sent cards and just different goodies they've dropped by, and you know, just the encouraging messages that we get. We just thank you, and we just love you all so much. I think if there's one thing that I've learned during this time, that it's no matter what we go through, no matter what's happening, there is one thing that we can do, and we can depend on Jesus. He's always there. He never fails us. And He'll bring us through, saints. I'd like to share this hymn with you, One Thing I Can Do. I thank Thee, Lord, that I can cast my burdens all on Thee. Though I be tempted, Thou hast died to bear them all for me. Though tried and pressed, yet I will trust this one thing I can do. I'll lean upon Thy loving breast, Thou guide me safely through. Though raging storms about me sweep and fiery billows roll, to Thee, dear Lord, I humbly trust the keeping of my soul. O Jesus, I will cling to Thee. I'll love Thee more and more. I'll place my trembling hand in Thine until the battle's o'er. Hang in there, dear ones. We'll see you all soon.
We do have some announcements we want to make. First of all, I want to thank you, as my companion already stated, for cards and birthday cards and gifts and things. We thank you for it, as I'll be 80 years old this coming Wednesday, starting to get what they call, consider a little bit on the elderly side. And also next Wednesday, testimonies, for the, mainly we're going to have children. Now there'll be room for adults too.
Yes.
But we're going to use, we call it the gospel train, and little cars that Brother Jeff Bremer has made, and they're going to be there, and they're going to be sitting in that little train and come up, and well, we'll explain more. We'll have ones explaining it the night of the service, plus stay tuned for a one call, and we'll probably explain more then. And then next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to try to open up worship again.
Amen.
And again, there'll be things, stipulations and things involved, but listen for the one call, and we'll try to get back into worship again, if at all possible.
Amen.
This morning, I have several scriptures, and a lot of scriptures in the message. But I believe that we need the scriptures to explain exactly what we're referring to.
Amen. Yes.
The first scripture will be found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Here, this is written by the wise man. Familiar scriptures this morning. And it's found in the last chapter of that book. Ecclesiastes 12, and we'll begin reading at verse number 8. Now, you notice throughout that book, the word vanity is used several times. And he starts in verse number 8, and he said, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher." He went on to say, "All is vanity." And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished, and making many books is no end. Much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is a whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Amen.
Then turn with me to a companion text found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to read some verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And Paul writes this, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we will be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of light. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we're always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him.
Yes.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
Amen.
One more. Text of scripture found in Hebrews 9, 24 through 28. For Christ is not entered into the holy place, places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as a high priest entered into the holy place, every year with blood of others. For then must he have once suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look unto him shall he appear the second time, excuse me, without sin unto salvation." Three different texts of scripture I used. Ecclesiastes, Corinthian letter, and also the Hebrew letter. And all these scriptures, I'm sure that everyone noticed one word that stood out. And we know that word is judgment. In the New Testament, in the Greek, it means tribunal. And in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, it means verdict or justice. Judgment is not popular to speak on. And preachers get labeled. They're called judgmental, or they're called hell and fire and brimstone preachers. Amen, if they do preach on it. But regardless, it's necessary once in a while to remind us that it lies right out ahead of every one of us. Speaking of when I myself got saved, it was because judgment was poured out on my lifestyle. Isaiah 1, the first chapter in verse number 27 says this, "Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness." Now, we know when the prophet speaks of Zion, he's speaking of people who have been converted, delivered from sin, and represents the people of God.
Amen.
Zion is not a building, but rather a people who have been saved or redeemed. We know people are the church, not the building. The building is a place of worship, amen, for the church. I was found guilty myself and was also was told the remedy, which is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The writers of the Bible remind us over and over again there's going to be a judgment. The word judgment is used approximately 294 times in the Bible, and most of the times, about 218 to be exact, being in the Old Testament. Now we know the word love is used about 311 times, and yet not too many preachers are condemned for preaching on it. I believe both need to be preached, as they both are important.
Yeah.
When we speak of the judgment, to me, this is very serious to even preach on. It's serious because it lies right ahead of every one of us, whether we want to own it or we don't want to own it. Whether we just dismiss it from our mind or if it pries on our mind, regardless, it lies out ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we speak of the judgment, we want to look at more than just the final judgment this morning. There's different kinds of judgment. There's the instant judgment. There's preliminary judgment. There's future judgment. And then, of course, there's a final judgment. Four different kinds we want to look at. And we'll start with instant judgment. In the Bible, instant judgment occurs many times. We're going to look at a few of those times. There are times that retribution for the offense happened immediately. Turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter number 5, verse number 1 through 5. Speaking of Belshazzar, who was king of Babylon at that time, it says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast for thousands of his lords, amen, and commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which is in Jerusalem, the king, the princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Now we know right now he's treading on dangerous ground. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. The king, the princes, and wise concubines drank in them. They drank wine, praised the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and rolled over against a candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Now Belshazzar knew better than to get involved in what he did.
Yes.
He was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and he also knew the judgment that came upon his grandfather for exalting himself.
Mm-hmm.
Belshazzar had much light and much understanding, amen, for his day. What he did, he knew better than to do it. Daniel 5 and 30 says, in the night was Belshazzar, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Judgment came. It came in the same night. Judgment, the same night. No doubt Belshazzar had had parties before. Nothing had ever happened. These kings, it wasn't unusual for those kings to have feasts and parties and banquets and invite all these different ones that are mentioned there. That wasn't unusual. And nothing happened before. But this time, in this drunken stupor, the anger of the Lord brought instant judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, the king, the princes, wise concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, the king, the princes, wives, and concubines, drank in them.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? They drank wine.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't stop there. They praised the gods of gold,
mm-hmm.
silver, brass, iron, wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and over against a candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Belshazzar overstepped when he brought worship into the party. But he not only brought worship into the party, they drank out of the sacred vessels, and at the same time they prayed the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, and wood. And it stirred the anger of the Lord to the place he sent instant judgment. When judgment came, it wasn't sent to Belshazzar secretly, but rather in the presence of all to see. Again, look at a couple of scriptures there. Daniel 5 and 5. The same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and over against the candlestick of the plaster of the wall in the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. Belshazzar brought idolatry into worship. And when he did that, he used the sacred vessels and praised another gods. And God brought instant judgment.
Amen.
Then in the New Testament, let's move right on. There was Ananias and Sapphira, and they got in trouble. Mm-hmm. Amen. Trying to deceive God and also deceive the church by lying. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife's also being privy to it, while a certain part laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came all them that heard these things. And later on, amen, the same thing happened to his companion, Sapphira. He had supposedly devoted the sale to God, and it was an attempt to deceive, an attempt to deceive God. Ananias believed that God would not detect the crime. Evidently, he thought that, or even see the motives of his heart. But there's a God who sees all and cannot be deceived. God can actually see the motives or the intents of the heart. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, was praying. And in 1 Samuel 2 and 2 and 3 says this, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And she went on to pray. She said, talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge.
Amen.
And by him actions are weighed. Hannah said, God is a God of knowledge. He knows all things and all people, and he cannot be deceived.
Amen.
He weighs actions, he weighs motives, and even thoughts. What Ananias and his wife Sapphira did, they did it voluntarily. They didn't have to give anything. It was their property to do as they please. It was in their power. But covetousness got in their heart. And they wanted to be held in high esteem in generosity and in giving. And still keep back part of the price. Well, let's pick up one more in the New Testament. Let's go to Acts the 12th chapter. Verse number 18, and I told you I was going to use lots of scriptures this morning. Acts 12, 18. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them at Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in fine royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God, and not a man. Immediately, the scripture says, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eating the worms and gave up the ghost.
Yes.
But the word of God grew and multiplied.
Amen.
Commentators say at this time there was a quarrel going on between Herod, and the people of Tyre and Sidon. And the quarrel was a very serious matter. And according to commentators, their lands lay to the north of Palestine, and in two ways Herod could make things very difficult for the people of Tyre and Sidon. If he deflected the trade of Palestine from their ports, their revenues or their income would be seriously impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Worse, Tyre and Sidon were dependent for their food supplies on Palestine, and if those supplies were cut off, their case would be very serious indeed. So then the people succeeded in gaining the ear of Blastus, the king's chamberlain. And in due course, it says, a public session was arranged. Now Josephus, a Jewish historian, said this. He describes how on the second day of the festival, Herod entered the theater clad in a robe of silver cloth. The sun glittering on the silver. And the people cried out, this was a god that had come to them. The Bible says immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him. Why? He gave not God the glory. And he was eating the worm and gave up the ghost. Why? He gave not God the glory. But let's move on from this instant judgment. Let's go on to preliminary judgment. And that's where you and I are under right now. Listen to the words of Jesus. John the 12th chapter, verse 46 through verse 50. Says this, I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now he's talking about his first advent. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but us. Teach us the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment in what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The word of God preached is preliminary judgment. Yeah. It's sent to prepare us, mm-hmm. to teach us, mm-hmm. and to help us. To make our way through this life into eternity, yes. safely.
Amen.
Amen. People don't like to go to the house of God, but I say it's necessary mm-hmm. for us to sit underneath preliminary amen. Judgment.
Yes.
It's necessary, amen, for God to point out the things that's wrong in our life. We don't want to face them at the judgment. We want to face them right now
yes.
where we can do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is future judgment. You hear these words scattered throughout the Word of God. You hear them in the Old Testament and in the New. What do you hear? It shall come to pass.
Yes.
It shall come to pass. Many times God has delayed his judgment to a future time, and it came to pass at a later date. Now, God doesn't forget things like we're apt to do. Amen. We have to write things down. We have to schedule things. We have to make appointments. But God's not that way. God doesn't have a memory lapse. He doesn't suffer Alzheimer's. Amen. He can remember things today. He can remember things 1,000 years ago.
Amen.
Just as if they happened in that particular moment. Many times, God delayed judgment to a future time. And it came, like I say, at a later date. Amen. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 8 says this, Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as what? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years
yes.
as one day. Backing up earlier in the chapter, you would find that Peter was dealing with scoffers. Their first argument the scoffers had was that all things remain the same. Nothing has ever changed. You keep saying about the day of the Lord, you keep saying this is going to take place, but nothing ever changes. 2 Peter 3 and 4, they were saying this, where is the promise? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Nothing has changed.
Yes.
But the apostle says this in verse 5, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished.
Mm.
What's Peter saying? He's saying that's not true. All things didn't remain as they were from creation. For there was a flood, and the world that now is reserved unto fire. Let's look at verse 8 and 9. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, excuse me, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish,
yes.
but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
The scoffers were saying this, and you hear it yet today. They were saying that much time and amen and the time of his coming have passed away. Nothing changes. Everything remains the same. Nothing changes. I know preachers keep saying that, they keep predicting it, but day after day keeps slipping by and nothing changes. Then Peter reminds him, time is not remembered. Amen. Like we remember it. Time isn't remembered like that with the Lord. That which may seem like a long time to us is but a brief period to the Lord. What did Peter say in verse 8? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. To God, time has no demands, for it makes no difference to God whether things are done in a day or extended to 1,000 years. But to us, time is a factor. For we have but a short time to live, and if we don't take advantage of the opportunity to serve him, we never will.
Right.
God is eternal. And we are, amen, this outer man is mortal.
Right.
God always lives through every period of time, and we cannot assume because he's delayed the execution of his purposes that he has abandoned them. He hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't forgotten them. If he desires to execute his coming in the day or put it off another 1,000 years, he has the power and the right to do so. If you're under the sound of my voice and have some things wrong in your heart, then it would be my advice to take care of it as quickly as you can.
Amen.
Why? Because you're going to leave a period of time and go into eternity where time will be no more. Don't let the thought that because nothing has ever happened, that God has forgot about it. Ecclesiastes 8th chapter, verse number 12, says this. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, his days be prolonged, maybe live a long, long life, yet surely I know it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Even if he would live to be 100 and some years old, it's a shadow. It's short. Anybody that's up in years can always look back, and what do they always say? My, how time is like it's just flown. And that's true. We look back on things and we say, you mean that happened that many years ago? Seemed like it was only yesterday. How time keeps moving on. And where's time taking us? They're taking us to eternity. Well, the 90th Psalm, verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it's past, and as a watch in the night. What did the wise man say in Ecclesiastes? He said, if you're doing wrong, and you seem to have a long life, don't think it's going to go well with you in eternity because you live to be an old age. Don't think that God just changed his mind and just changed it from wrong to right. And that's the reason why you're living a long time. You're living a long time because it's the mercy of God.
Amen.
But to those who fear God and keep his word, the promises of God are going to be right there to reward the righteous. In the New Testament, we read the words of the Apostle Paul written to the Galatians. And how many times have people quoted these verses? But do you really realize what they're saying? Do you ever think of the content of these verses? They're more than just verses to quote. Listen to what he says. Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Amen. And if you think he is, you're deceived. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Paul points out that there is one thing for sure, and that is found in these scriptures, that we're going to reap either good or bad.
Right.
Right. Now let's go on. Let's look at the last judgment we have, and that's the final judgment. And at the final judgment, nothing gets changed. There are three verses we want to read. Amen. That all through the authors are not all of the have the same meaning of, but there's three verses we want to read. And although the authors are not the same, is what I'm saying, the meaning is. Hebrews 9:27. What's it say? And it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this to judgment. Go from there, go right back to the Corinthians. 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to done, whether it be good or bad. And then go to Ecclesiastes. Another one we read, let's hear the conclusion or the ending of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. Why? For this is the whole duty of man, or this is what life is all about.
Amen.
For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The final judgment will be a day of remembrance. All those things not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ are going to be remembered. Though one might push out of their mind, push them out of their mind, try to drown them out, amen, with drugs or alcohol or other vices, every one of them is going to come to light.
Amen.
Those things no one knows about. No one knows about them but God. They're going to come to light. The wise man called them secret things. Now we know there's nothing secret from God, but there are things many times hidden from husbands, hidden from wives, hidden from their boss at work, hidden from the Internal Revenue, and also parents, just to name a few things. If they're forgiven and covered by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. If they're not forgiven, if they're forgiven, that's one thing. They won't be charged. But if they're not forgiven and not covered by the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, then we're going to face them at the final judgment. All those secret conversations where you slandered someone's life, those things you have hidden for so long, attitudes, no one could detect it. But it'll be exposed. There'll be no mediator there. There's no defense. There's no one to plead your case. When your life is over here on earth, it's just the beginning in eternity with the record that you had while on this earth.
Amen.
There'll be no purgatory, no other chance to correct or make things right that were wrong. Turn with me to the book of John. Chapter number 5, and beginning, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. As we begin to close, and as we look at these verses of Scripture, we can see two distinct differences in the two resurrections. The first one, the spiritual resurrections, we have a choice. We don't have to be saved. We can hear his words and not believe them. Amen. Or we could hear his words and amen and have life.
Yeah.
Well, we believe the word of God.
Yes.
But we have a choice. People have a choice today whether to be saved or not.
Yes.
They have a choice today whether to become a Christian or to stay as they are. Amen. So we have a choice in that first resurrection. They hear his voice. What's the scripture say? shall live. Shall live spiritually. How do we hear his voice? We hear it through the gospel.
Yes.
Amen. And you know, dear ones, that's why a lot of people don't want to attend the house of God. They don't want to be told they're wrong. But you need to be told you're wrong to make it right.
Yes.
Here in this life. You don't want to be patted on the back and you're wrong overlooked.
Yes.
It needs to be pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the Word of God is a soul searcher.
Yes.
It'll point it out. And God lets it be pointed out, and you know it. Why? So you can do something about it.
Right.
So you can change.
Yes.
But in the final resurrection, when all the graves are going to open, all shall hear and come forth. Choice is gone. Rejection is gone. An opportunity to change your life also is gone. I don't know of anything more serious than to be faced with your sins at the final judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Just the thought of that is terrible. To face your lifestyle at the final judgment, but along with that, can't do one thing about it. You have to live with it throughout eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And to be faced with that, especially when all opportunities to change your life, amen, you've rejected.
Yes.
They're gone. And God gave you opportunity after opportunity, chance after chance, time and time and time again. But those were all rejections. And now there's no opportunity to change. And then having to give an account for our life.
Yeah.
But thank God there is a way that's been prepared and opened up for such a time as that. That is through believing that Jesus is the sacrifice for our sins and turning to him with all our heart.
Amen.
Taking advantage of the Word of God and believe the Scriptures and do what the Scriptures say. Thank God he's made a way where we can be ready to face our life through old time salvation.
Yes.
Not just joining a church.
Right.
I belonged to a church when I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
I always went and attended church. Amen. Whenever, once in a while, when I was a boy, I'd attend church. But it didn't change me.
Right.
I was just like the other children I ran around with, and if not worse. But I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about old-time salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it old-time because salvation isn't always presented like that in most places.
Yes.
I'm talking about repentance, turning from the old life to the new life.
Amen.
Amen. Old time salvation, and again I say not joining a church, nor giving allegiance to a church, but through repentance and believing.
Yes.
Then we can go through this life victorious, prepared to do whatever God's will is.
Yes.
I brought the message this morning on judgment. Popular? Not by any means. Not by any means. A lot of people, as soon as they hear that word judgment, click. You're turned off. And they say, you got no right to judge. I make a difference with you. We don't do the judging. It's the Word of God that
yes.
judges.
Amen.
And when we read the Scripture, it's actually God pouring out the judgment.
Amen.
And as I close this morning, it would be my desire, it would be God's desire, and the church's desire, that you'd allow the preliminary judgment, the Word of God, to change you.
Yes.
Don't wait to where the Word of God is not going to change you, but it's going to condemn you and find you guilty. Change while you have the opportunity. And you know, that's God's desire. That's what God wants you to do. God takes, the Bible lets us know, God's not thrilled with people to die lost. God's not thrilled because ones wind up going to a lost eternity. But God's desire is that each and every one would be saved. Now we know the whole world's not going to be saved. We know that. But salvation is for everyone in the whole world, whether they're saved or not.
Yeah.
And salvation is for you this morning. Listener, if you're one, and maybe you're caught up in drugs, maybe you're caught up in alcohol, Maybe you're just caught up in some other vices. That makes no difference to God. God can save you.
Amen.
Amen. There is any sin that's so powerful that God can't eradicate it and take
care
of it.
Yes.
But it's up to you. Whether you accept the preliminary judgment or whether you're willing to face the judgment as you are. Now we're going to look to the Lord in prayer. We pray that the Word of God will help you this morning to make one of the most crucial decisions, if not the most crucial, that you ever make in your life. And that is whether to stay as you are or to repent and turn to God. Let us pray. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we lift our voice unto Thee this morning, thanking and praising Thee for having been so good to us. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that Thou would remember each and every one under the sound of our voice, that they'll receive the help they need. Lord, we know that You love each and every one, and the only reason why You speak this way is so, Lord God, that they'll get serious with their life and do something about it. Please help us is our prayer this morning. We need You so much. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for Your glory.
Yes.
Amen.